Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
boy. Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour deflector shield shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios. In New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Houston to Harrisburg, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us on a fine Friday. What a show we've got for you today. Whew! If you want a highly functional, fully stuffed, fully staffed DAW, this is the day for you. Boise State fans, how about this? Going into a game at BYU, the number 14 Broncos establishing Mountain West supremacy last weekend with a blowout victory over Hawaii, but questions about the health of their starting quarterback, Hank Bachmeier. Brian Harsin, head coach of the Broncos, is going to join us in hour number two. Brian Harsin, head coach, Boise State, coming up a little over an hour from now. I've got your tasty top five college football game for the weekend. Mraz has your up-the-gut NFL picks. Also, his now-reclaimed championship football food of the week. For the first time this year, he has been graded by the committee as an A. In fact, Coca-Cola ribs earned an A-plus last week. So, baby, he's back. The football food of the week went from dips with bacon bits to an A-plus stock. We'll see what it is this week coming up later on in the show. Also, the Eagles and Cowboys are right now freely slob. Which one of their seasons is on life support more with a loss coming up on Sunday? And I hate to say it, but certainly smells like Oinktober could be coming to a crashing end soon. In fact, let me just look at this watch and, yep, a little over 12 hours from now, Oinktober should officially be pork on ice. We shall discuss Mraz's once again ill-timed and misplaced predictions from yesterday. It certainly was oinky, and it certainly was wrong. All of that coming up this morning on the show. It's also a Target Demo Friday, everybody. That means we want to hear from you. What are you doing as you listen to the show? Where are you listening to the show? How are you listening to the show? Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Or on Facebook, hit me up, facebook.com/TheDAShow. I'm going to get into Yankees and Astros coming up here momentarily, but we have to start on Thursday Night Football because the star of stars, I think even if you're not a Chiefs fan, he's probably
everybody's second best player, second favorite player in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes injured last night. In what ends up being a blowout win by the Chiefs, 30-6 in Denver, ends up being the most depressing blowout win in franchise history. In fact, I don't know another time where for Chiefs fans, beating up on the Broncos has ever been depressing. That's good eating for Chiefs fans. Beating the Broncos at home, great. Beating the Broncos at Mile High, oh, even better.
But as you walk out of that game last night, despite the 30-6 win, Chiefs fans are forlorn, heartbroken, miserable, depressed this morning. For all of my friends and family in Kansas City that live and die by the Chiefs on Sundays, I feel terribly for them. And I know it's not just Kansas City because I'm watching on Twitter last night as it happens, and everybody around the country is bummed out, depressed, and angry that Patrick Mahomes got injured. Everybody.
You are a machine of death.
He ends up injuring his kneecap, which is way better than the actual knee. It's his kneecap that apparently needs to get locked back into place.
Ew!
After he takes a quarterback sneak, goes into the pile, something happens where his knee gets mangled, and they cut to commercial break, and Twitter reports are the cart's coming out. I stayed optimistic. I love Patrick Mahomes. And I have a personal connection to Kansas City because of my time there. My goddaughter lives there. Some of my best friends live there. So I feel like that's my family, and I know their pain. I know that torture. I saw it firsthand. And I saw the cart reports, and my heart sunk. But I remained optimistic because it's Mahomes. Because Mahomes has kind of proven to be a little superhuman. And Mahomes ends up not needing the cart. Walks off in his own power. Okay, good. Goes into the locker room, is walking. Good. Doesn't come back to the game, but gives Andy Reid, I'll be okay. Very good. But ultimately, the MRI is going to dictate what happens here. And the difference is, if the MRI says no ligament damage, Mahomes could be back in 3 weeks. If MRI machine says ligament damage, it likely means surgery, out for the season. So, hey, MRI machine in Kansas City, if you know what's good for you, you'll spit out the prognosis, diagnosis that we're looking for here. Hey, MRI machine, shut your chirpy mouth, okay? If you know what's good for you, you give us one of those, icy hot will be fine, move along. I don't want to hear no MRI ligament damage today. That MRI machine needs to know its place. But Andy Reid catching flack last night and this morning for even running Patrick Mahomes, because Mahomes, of course, was on the gimpy ankle. Let's start there. Did Reid make a mistake sneaking Mahomes? It is where we begin your cold open.
It looks like it's a first down on the quarterback sneak by Patrick Mahomes. Is he off the field? He is not. He might be hurt, Kendall. They are calling to the sideline. Mahomes may be hurt.
Oh, no.
As he went on the quarterback sneak, he is down on his left hip, and he has taken his helmet off.
He's in a good place. I mean, he was in a good place on the field when it happened. He grimaced. Our doc was phenomenal in just calming everything down. Dr. Schreppel, he just kind of calmed the storm right there, and Pat was good, felt very comfortable with him.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Touchdown, Kansas City. And Kendall Gammon on Chiefs Radio with your call. That was, of course, Andy Reid. I'm not going to blame Reid here. Not going to do it. Yeah, okay. The optics aren't great. because what you have is a guy who has an injured ankle going into a pile, running the football. But, I mean, look, it's his knee. So if he had a healthy ankle, suddenly his knee's going to be fine? I mean, I just think that this is kind of like the Sam Darnold mono gonna die diagnosis from Twitter people. You know, it's like everybody's a Twitter doctor, Twitter medic. The only real doctor I trust is Dr. Chow. That's the only one. None of these bozos on Twitter that, oh my God, he shouldn't have been running there. Andy Reid put him in danger. So, wait a second. 42-year-old Tom Brady does a quarterback sneak twice a week, every week. It always works. He never gets injured. But a 25-year-old Patrick Mahomes is getting injured and it's suddenly a dangerous play. How could you possibly sneak him? You know, it's just that's the reaction to what ends up happening. Because I'm pretty sure before that, nobody said, quarterback sneak, how could you possibly quarterback sneak? He's on one ankle. No. If he was healthy and he comes out of that healthy, nobody says anything. So I'm not going to kill Andy Reid here. I do think that, hey, this just makes the NFL Films video Kingdom Come, the story of the 2019 Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, more interesting. Because Mahomes, who is Superman, looks like he's in agony, writhing in agony, kneecaps on the wrong side of his leg, cart comes out, he waves off the cart, fade to black, and then the music starts up again. And there's Mahomes on crutches, and the announcer says something like,
the Chiefs had to find a way without their leader. But ultimately, their leader would come back.
And then there's Mahomes slinging touchdowns, underhanded throws. They go to the playoffs. They end up beating the Ravens in the divisional round. They end up going to Foxborough and beating the Patriots 38-31. They go to the Super Bowl. All is great. I mean, this is obviously what's going to happen here. So I'm not going to kill Andy Reid. Right now, it's dark outside. But I believe in the light. Because you know what? At some point, the sports gods will smile on Kansas City. At some point, it wasn't Lynn Elliott. It wasn't a Howard Griffith game. It wasn't leading 38-10 over Andrew Luck and the Colts. It wasn't last year's D Ford offsides. It wasn't the Larry Johnson playoff game. It wasn't the no-punt game. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. At some point, the sports guys are good. Just look at the Washington Nationals in your own town. Look at the Royals a couple of years ago. And for us as NFL fans, we deserve that much. The sports gods owe us this because we don't need to see another soulless death march by the Patriots through the AFC to a Super Bowl. We don't deserve that. We deserve better than that. We know Patriots fans don't deserve even another win. They should be going 0-16 for the rest of eternity. So we deserve this. We've earned this. The sports gods will do the right thing here. Mahomes will be fine. He'll be back in 3 weeks. And all will be okay. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. I mean, good news is also that the Chiefs defense played really well. Although, my God. I mean, the Broncos offensive line and Joe Flacco. They should have just kept the cart out for Flacco. How many bruising hits did Flacco take? I mean, he was under siege all night long and losing the football multiple times. So good news is Chiefs defense finally looked the part. Bad news is season is over if this is a season-ending injury for Mahomes. They can survive without him for 3 or 4 weeks with Matt Moore, and maybe that gives Mahomes some time to actually rest that ankle and get the ankle ready as well. But John Elway, your team stinks. Your offensive line's terrible. What a disgrace in Denver these days. How did that team win two games? 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return,
is Oinktober officially over? I think so.
We'll see how Mraz is feeling. Coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
sweatpants at work zone.
You know, I want to comment on the Robbie Rosenhaus situation. Looks like Robbie might be coming a part of the scene, so we might have to do a compassion waiver for his mental health and well-being.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We thank you so much for being part of a Friday show. It's a Target Demo Friday, which means we're looking to know where you're at as you listen, how you're listening, and what you're doing. And we will read through those coming up later on in the show. It's a Target Demo Friday, which means tweet at me, DA on CBS, with that pertinent information, and hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Boise State fans, we've got Brian Harsin, Broncos head coach, joining us in hour number two, about an hour from now, a little bit less. Hour number two, Brian Harsin's going to join us as the number 14 Boise State Broncos head to Provo to take on BYU tomorrow. What's the status of their quarterback, Hank Bachmeier? We'll talk to head coach Brian Harsin about that coming up here next hour on the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. You know we love you. One thing we also love around here, humility. We don't like loud mouths. We don't like bullies. We don't like egos. Myself, Andrew Bogish, Pete the Body Bilotti, Andrew Kaplan, we make up the fabric of this show as four guys that respect others. We respect opponents. We do not expect anything. We are not entitled human beings. We cheer for our teams, but we tip our cap when we lose. Doesn't say that we're good losers, doesn't say that we like losing, but we're not wired to expect and be entitled to win. We don't say, oh, our teams are so great, of course they're going to smash you, and they're going to smash you to bits, and I'm going to laugh at you before they do it, laugh at you while they do it, and laugh at you after they do it. I don't like people like that. I don't like them. Myself, Bogish, Pete the Body, Andrew Kaplan, we are all kindred spirits in this. We root for our teams, we're passionate, we're knowledgeable, but we don't shove it in people's faces, especially when we got nothing to shove in their face. And then there is one member of the DA Show family that's the exact opposite. And he comes waddling in, my fine fleshy friend, with his jerseys and his jerseys and his tattoo and his hats and his skid marked sweatpants and his mustard-stained jackets. And he comes in and oinks. Oh, does he oink. He oinks at us. He oinks in our faces. He won't stop oinking. And yesterday on the show, yesterday, said oinker had some thoughts about his New York Yankees going into game number four last night against the Astros. Zach Greinke on the hill for Houston. Masahiro Tanaka on the hill for the Yankees. AJ Hinch had done something that was slightly controversial. He decided after the rainout of game four the other night, instead of going to the bullpen game, he was going to start Greinke in game four at Yankee Stadium, going for the kill shot. He said, scrap the idea of the bullpen game. We got the rainout. Greinke goes in game number four, and we'll try to get the kill shot with one of our starters instead of going to the bullpen game. And oh, how the pig laughed.
That somehow Zach Greinke is going to outduel one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time in his building tonight.
Oh, the pig oinked. The pig laughed. The pig guaranteed a game four victory.
But you guys can laugh and roll your eyes all you want. That's just them facts when it comes to Masahiro Tanaka. Uh-huh. The Astros need to find a way to win this game tonight. They won't.
They won't. Masahiro Tanaka, big game pitcher. Yesterday, Mraz comparing Masahiro Tanaka to Sandy Koufax, to Don Drysdale,
Bob Gibson. So there's no way that Greinke could possibly go into our stadium and come out with a victory.
Look, the series is already 2-2. I mean, frankly, we could all shut our eyes tonight by 8:30 and we know we wake up and we know what happens.
Huh. Yesterday, the series is already 2-2. We can shut our eyes by 8:30. We know what's going to happen. Well, a funny thing happened en route to 2-2. Those pigs, they were led to slaughter.
Now the pitch. That ball's driven to left field. Back on it, Gardner. He's on the warning track. There it goes, George Springer. A three-run shot gives the Astros the lead. It's 3-1.
That somehow Zach Greinke's going to outduel one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time in his building tonight.
Here's the pitch, and it is inside. No, strike three. Encarnacion argues with the home plate umpire, Bellino. Can't believe it.
And he got quick pitch, too.
As Chirinos had that pop out of his glove, but it's a called third strike. Four strikeouts now for Greinke, and it's a 1-2-3 for the first time by either pitcher.
You guys can laugh and roll your eyes if you want. That's just them facts when it comes to Masahiro Tanaka.
Here's the 0-1. And that's hit pretty well and pretty deep to left. Gardner is going back, looking up. See you later! A three-run home run for Carlos Correa. And the Astros go up 6-1. Correa with his second home run of the series.
The Astros need to find a way to win this game tonight. They won't.
Oh, that's just good eating. The pig gets chopped down yet again. Why do you do this to yourself? Why can't you just tip your cap, give credit to the other team, see what happens so that you don't have piggy egg on your face the next day?
The Astros are a nice little ball club, all right? They've clearly gotten some of the breaks here. I mean, the 40-mile-an-hour winds didn't help the Yankees last night. And the Yankees put themselves in a corner. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and act like this isn't a stressful time for me and the rest of the Yankee contingent. But one thing is certain. Don't give the Yankees life tonight.
Oh, God.
You have Justin Verlander on the mound in regular rest.
Yeah.
You better end it tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm sure the Astros are in a tough spot having Verlander tonight, Gerrit Cole at home, and then a game 7 at home.
Hold your horses.
They're really up against it.
Look, if I was a betting man, I would bet on Verlander tonight. Uh-huh. Okay, that is me being humble. Uh-huh. However, if the Yankee bats beat Verlander tonight and you have put life in that offense, you have a decision in Game 6. Do you pitch Gerrit Cole in 3 days or go bullpen game?
Yeah.
Either way, will probably be a Yankee win. Then you're in an anything can happen Game 7. So if you're the Astros, and I think they will win tonight, the Astros, so I'm being fair about this.
Oh, yeah,
but they better win tonight.
They better, yeah. Oh,
do
man.
Not. Give this Yankee team life that's been resilient all year. Yeah. Right now you have them dead in the water. I'll admit, they look dead in the water. Yeah. I was not expecting that soul-sucking life effort last night. Don't give them life tonight.
No, definitely don't.
Don't give them life.
No.
It's going to be a bad weekend for you, a bad weekend for Pete, a bad weekend for Bogish, and a bad weekend for those doofuses wearing astronaut helmets.
Yeah, wow. Boy, I wouldn't want to be in the Astro spot right now. I certainly wouldn't.
The series is already 2-2.
No.
Frankly, we could all shut our eyes tonight by 8:30, and we know we wake up and we know what happens.
Again, I'm being fair about this. I think the Astros win tonight, and it's over.
Uh-huh.
My point is they better win tonight. Yeah, because you wouldn't want Gerrit Cole going at home at a Game 6. I mean,
Gerrit Cole might lay down because he knows he's a Yankee next year anyway and wants to build a winning culture
right
now.
Yeah. He's been really knocked around. I mean, you definitely don't want Gerrit Cole.
Oh, that guy's immortal? He's still Gerrit Cole.
Zach Greinke looked immortal against you guys last night.
There were 40-mile-an-hour winds, and it was a blow to right field where we hit everything.
What happened to the best postseason pitcher ever in Masahiro Tanaka with those 40-hour winds?
They were on a left field. That was where the Astros were built. The Astros were built for those wind gusts last night. Weather completely affected the Yankees. AccuWeather and all the apps were wrong. They said the wind would die by 7 p.m., and it didn't. All right? I can't control Mother Nature. Yankees should have put a roof on that building.
That somehow Zach Greinke is going to outduel one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time in his building tonight.
I'm just saying, I think it's over tonight for the Yankees, and I'll be wrong. But look, when we get Gerrit Cole, it should be fine. Don't give the Yankees life tonight.
No.
You better not give them life tonight. Because if they beat Verlander, good night the lights, Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get off! Let's go!
Yeah. No, I could see that. I think if you're A.J. Hinch, you're actually pretty nervous right now. I mean, you've just won three consecutive games against a Yankees lineup and completely shut them down. I mean, absolutely embarrassed them. You have all of these supposed big bats of the Yankees lineup that can't hit with runners in scoring position.
We're all injured.
I mean, also defensively, the Yankees kicking balls all over the infield.
It was bad effort defensively.
And you get Game 6 and Game 7 at home, and one of those is Gerrit Cole. And then Game 5, you have the best big game pitcher of this generation outside of Madison Bumgarner. Oh, and this Astros team did this to the Yankees 2 years ago. Huh. I'm sure A.J. Hinch is in a tough pickle right now.
I don't think he is because I think he's confident
as he should be. But
Berliner.
Don't give the Yankees life.
Don't give the Yankees life tonight because then you're going to start to sweat. All the pressure is on Houston here to close this out tonight.
Is that right?
Yankees are going to come out loosey-goosey tonight, ready to go.
It's funny because before the series began, I received a text message from you that said, Yankees in five. And now the Yankees trail 3-1, having lost 3 straight and look totally overwhelmed at the plate.
A little trivia question for you and Pete here, okay?
Yeah.
How many games have the Yankees lost this postseason when Giancarlo Stanton plays? Answer the question. Answer the question.
They have not lost.
How many games have the Yankees...
Are they 1-0?
In the postseason?
Yes.
The Yankees are 4-0 when Giancarlo Stanton plays. How many games have the Yankees won when Giancarlo Stanton doesn't play this postseason?
None.
Okay. When I sent that text message, was Giancarlo Stanton hurt or was he playing? Don't you think maybe having your best billion-dollar player there makes a little bit difference? Don't you think so?
So you're saying...
I told you it was supposed to be Stan Tolbert. Guy smashes a homer in game one, gets hurt, and he's killed us.
So what you're saying is this series depends on Giancarlo Stanton, your least favorite Yankee,
which on
days is sometimes your most favorite Yankee.
2018's least favorite Yankee. I felt this was going to be his October, and he has completely let this team down.
You called him a stiff 2 days ago.
Because he's letting this team down.
Okay.
If he was in there, he wouldn't be letting this team down.
Uh-huh.
The Astros got a huge benefit by this guy being soft with a quad injury. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I've been in here on nights after I've stubbed a toe. There's no reason he shouldn't be out. It's the ALCS. Strap it up. Let's go.
So I didn't realize. Wouldn't you then have predicted a loss last night instead of a guaranteed win knowing that Stan Tolbert wasn't going to happen?
Last night was the first time it hit me. You know what?
Oh.
They missed this guy.
Oh.
The Astros need to find a way to win this game tonight. They won't.
Okay. Got it. Even down 3-1, the pig can't shut his piggy snout.
Don't give us life tonight. End it tonight, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what's good for you.
Yeah, I'm sure they're really nervous.
Right, because if you give them life, they'll be mediocre.
Yeah, I'm sure if you give them life, then they get to clinch on their home field in front of their home fans.
Okay, all right. If we're flying to Houston, we're flying for a purpose. So you better end it tonight.
What's great is that you keep calling it we, like you have never done anything.
I was in the building for game 3.
Okay.
Section 500.
We. Yeah, I was in the building. I had 2 sausage and peppers. I was double fisting 2 sausage and peppers in section 528. Yeah, I was there.
Oh.
I was helping that team out.
Hey.
Don't give us life, boys.
No, yeah,
you
definitely
won't be here to answer the bell tomorrow morning. Don't give us life.
Oh, by the way, we should bring this up, that earlier in the week you agreed that if the Yankees did not make it back to Houston and lost in 5, I could make a 1-minute montage and that you would have to play it at some point on the Saturday Night Chub Rub, the pork store, where you're hosting, coming up starting at 2 a.m. on Saturday night. So I just want to remind you that if Justin Verlander wins tonight and the Astros win tonight, you'll be playing a 1-minute montage of my choice and my making on your show, The Pork Store.
Okay. I mean, again, I honor my word on The Pork Store. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
Every salami is welcome. So
okay.
You're more than welcome to put that together if we lose tonight. And again, I think we will lose tonight, so we'll probably be playing that. But if we don't, good look out, boys, because Monday morning's going to be ugly for all of you.
Mm-hmm. When we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day, and that includes Sam Darnold talking about big expectations for the offense now that he's back. Plus, Earl Thomas could have revenge this weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Hey, good morning, DA. Can you beat me up? So I am a longtime listener to you guys. You're fantastic. You make my day. When I'm driving around, doing my job, you make my day.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's a Target Demo Friday, everybody. So let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. And I'll read through those coming up later on in the program. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, geico.com. Boise State fans, we got Brian Harsin joining us, head coach of the number 14 Broncos. He'll join us at 20 minutes past the hour, so stick around for that. Big win over Hawaii last weekend, asserting their dominance in the Mountain West. Also, they are the best Group of Five team in America right now. Eyes on a New Year's Six bowl game for the Broncos. We'll talk to head coach Brian Harsin about Hank Bachmeier's injury, about that balanced offense, a nice effort on Saturday against Hawaii, and this matchup against BYU, maybe unfinished business after last year. Head coach Brian Harsin coming up at 20 minutes past the hour. Yankees offense, dreadful last night of the Bronx. Absolutely, pathetically ugly. William tweets, what in the blue hell does 40-mile-an-hour winds have to do with anything? That wind was produced by all the fanning the Yankees were doing at the plate. Ed tweets, Mraz is just like Patriots fans, the ones he claims to hate. He is obnoxious and thinks everything Yankees is tremendous and they'll always win everything. I tuned in between the football game just to see the tears in Mraz's eyes. Hashtag, yo, dude, you got to chill. Jonathan tweets, one day Stanton's getting traded because he's a bum. Now he's the savior of the ALCS. Wow, Oinktober is a rough month. Time to fire up the grill and roast that pig. Hashtag, take a lap. Joe tweets, four errors, 13 strikeouts, 17 left on base. The Astros have Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole coming up just in case for Game 6. In Houston, don't give the Yanks life. The last time Cole lost, Westbrook was on the Thunder. Stop it, Mraz. Get some help. Hashtag Oinktober.
Yo, dude, you got to chill.
Joel tweets, oh, Mraz, where do I get the drugs? The Yankees honk drug. Dude, better get ready to put on 15 pounds due to intense stress eating.
World Series, here we come.
The Silver Fox tweeted, I just want to reset my tweet from yesterday. The Pharaoh of Fat should have to come to see Bob Seger with me. I bet I had a much better time than he did last night. I scored more than the Yankees did, I can tell you that much.
World Series bound! Love to see the women you picked up at a Bob Seger concert.
The Silver Fox scored more last night than the Yankees offense did. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
How about the biggest bat in a lineup that can't get a clutch hit? Here's Aaron Judge.
It's tough to say, you know. We're facing good pitching, and we just weren't. Like you said, we get guys on base, but we're just missing that one big hit. And that's the thing Houston was able to do tonight is they got their big hits when they had, you know, some traffic on the bases. So, yeah, we just got to regroup and, you know, let's go back to playing our game.
Aaron Judge. Yeah, just go back to playing your game where, what, you guys can't hit. There's no offense. You're booting balls around the infield. Your pitching's mediocre. What exactly are you going to go back to? I will say this, A.J. Hinch looks like a genius today because he went for the kill shot with Zach Greinke last night. He did not roll out the bullpen game. He was up 2-1. He said, I'm going to seize control of this game. I'm not going to cede a game here to make it 2-2 just to get to the bullpen game. I'm going to go with my guy, Greinke, and let's see what he does. And I thought Greinke was in a world of hurt in that first inning. when Greinke loaded the bases and then walked in a run, I said, it is over. And this Yankee Stadium crowd is loud and they're rambunctious. And it was great. It was a throwback. You know, that new Yankee Stadium is not like the old one. It's antiseptic. It's sterile. It's like going to a Bank of America ATM. I mean, it just, it has no soul. And yet, here it was, loud and rocking. It really felt like the old stadium. I mean, it really was loud, and you could tell how crazy it was. And the Yankee fans, I give them credit, were trying to really rattle Greinke. They smelled blood in the water. It was great theater. And then, by like the third or fourth inning, once the Astros grabbed that lead, quiet. I mean, as quiet as you could get. And it was like all of that juice got totally deflated. And I don't know what's happening to Yankee fans, but in 96, that stadium's still rocking. And last night, it was, here we go again. No bats. We're going to lose. And, you know, it was great for the first couple of innings. And then once they didn't push across those early runs, it got real quiet, real fast. Sam Darnold, now that he's back, believes that the Jets' offense has a huge potential.
Once we get all the guys, right now we're just missing. Once all the guys are back together, I think, you know, we're unstoppable as an offense, or we can be. It's just up to us how much we execute or how well we go out there and play. So it's really up to us, you know, how many points we score, I think.
It's up to us how many points we score. Well, that's some confidence. I like that laugh as well from a guy that no longer fears death because of his spleen being enlarged. Ha. Oh, it's up to us whether we score 50, 60, 70. Do we score a touchdown in every drive? Do we sometimes kick a field goal? What do we do here? Ha.
Once all the guys are back together.
Yeah. Ha. I've got this crazy eyes coach. He watches film for 22 hours a day. Never sleeps, man. Ha. Never sleeps. This guy, he's crazy. He's bald. He always has a hat on, pulled real dark over his eyes. No lights are ever on at the complex. Middle of the day, he's sitting in a dark room. All lights are off. He says, come on in. He opens with the door. I see those crazy eyes peering out from behind. It looks like a Scooby-Doo painting. They're following me all over the place, but ha-ha. We got something going on right here. We feel good about this all. We're rolling. Did you see what we did at the Cowboys? I think we got Jason Garrett fired last weekend. Ha-ha. And finally, Earl Thomas, as his new team takes on his old team, the Seattle Seahawks. Remember, the last time we saw Earl Thomas in a Seahawks uniform, he was getting carted off the field and going double bird to his teammates, and specifically, I think, his coach and his maybe his front office. Not his teammates, but Earl Thomas with the one-finger salute.
Guys been checking on me throughout the season, especially guys on defense, some of my old coaches. Some of my strength and conditioning staff, they've checked on me. But I'm sure, like, during pregame, once I go do my warm-ups, if I see some guys and we start a conversation, I'm not going to go out there and not talk to anybody.
You know, Earl Thomas got his way. Earl Thomas got out. Earl Thomas got his money, kind of. Earl Thomas, I don't understand why you'd be that bitter anymore about what happened in Seattle. I mean, granted, maybe he lost some money by getting injured last year, but he got where he wanted to go. He got to control where he went and got a contract out of it. And he's going to be part of one of the best defenses of the last 20 years of the Super Bowl era. So to me, I mean, let bygones be bygones and focus on your new team. And you know, the Ravens play at Seattle, and the big thing is that's a huge game for both of these teams. Ravens are 4-2. Seahawks are 5-1. And the Ravens, if there's a Mahomes injury that opens up the AFC even more, the Ravens are one of those next-tier teams that can take advantage of that. So for Earl Thomas, man, if you want to use his motivation, that's fine. But to really have some type of hatred for that organization, for that franchise, I think it's silly. I think it's misplaced. You were part of a great defense. You won a Super Bowl. You went to back-to-back Super Bowls, and you got your freedom and ended up on a good team that now has real potential in the AFC with the injury to Patrick Mahomes. We don't know the severity yet. We're waiting on an MRI today in Kansas City. The MRI will tell us whether Mahomes' injury is a 3 or 4 week affair or if it is a season-long affair. But either way, you have a Ravens team positioned in the AFC, maybe a Bills team position to the AFC, a Colts, a Texans, these are the next tier teams that under the Patriots have to recognize an opportunity is at their doorstep. Your phone number, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Captain Johnny tweets, will the pig man ever learn not to test the baseball gods? Last year, the Red Sox were the worst 108-win team in baseball history. He guaranteed a Yankee win. Now he's bad-mouthing the Astros, guaranteeing another Yankee win. There is a thing called karma, Sir Pugnacious, or should I say Pignacious. Well-deserved. William tweets, the Yankees should be renamed the Bears because they're going home with their tail tucked between their legs. Hashtag oink. When we come back, we'll talk about what happens to the loser of Eagles-Cowboys. And this hour, Brian Harsin's going to join us. Boise State fans, stay right here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.